you probably don't know this about me, but I love the show Friends. I mean, like, I really, really love the show Friends. I've seen them all a lot of times, and I am that person in conversation that's like, oh my gosh, it's like that Friends episode when... I mean, anybody who's been signing me on any regular basis will vouch that they have been a part of a conversation where I've done this. And so I'm not going to lie to you. It's kind of been curious to me that I've gone this long without ever referencing Friends in a sermon. But today is the day. And so this is from the episode, the one with all the resolutions, and it's New Year's Eve, and the Friends have thrown this New Year's Eve party, and they're cleaning up after the party, and they start sharing their New Year's resolutions. And so Ross goes first, and Ross says that his resolution is to do a new thing every day. That's his goal. And if you're familiar with the show, he ultimately will buy leather pants. It's really hysterical. You should go watch it. But yeah, so that's Ross. And then Phoebe says that her resolution is to pilot a commercial jet, even though she has no training for this whatsoever. And so when she says this, Chandler immediately makes a joke because that's what Chandler does. And so the friends all kind of turn to him and they say, well, Chandler, maybe your resolution should be to stop making fun of us. They don't even make that his resolution for the year. It's just his goal for the week. And then Joey says that his resolution is to learn to play guitar. And it's about at this point that Rachel's been cleaning up from the party, and she picks up a pair of glasses that one of the other party guests had left. And Rachel picks them up, and she said, oh, no, she is really going to be needing these to keep an eye on that boyfriend of hers, who, from what I hear, is a little too chummy with the secretary, if you know what I mean. And it's at this point that Monica says, hey, Rach, maybe your resolution should be to gossip less. And Rachel responds, I don't gossip. And all the friends in the room start laughing. And she says, well, maybe sometimes I find out things or I hear something and I pass that information along, you know, kind of like a public service. It doesn't mean I'm a gossip. I mean, would you call Ted Koppel a gossip? And Monica says, well, if Ted Koppel talked about his coworker's bad plastic surgery, then yeah, I would. And that's the end of the scene. But I wanted to use this morning because I think Rachel's attitude about gossip is probably similar to a lot of ours. Because none of us want to be a gossip. And I think if any of us were called that, we'd probably be quick to refute that. But I also think it's probably true that to some extent or another, we all struggle to resist making public service announcements from time to time about the things that we've heard that are going on. And today we're going to talk more about gossip, and we're going to return to Ephesians 4. We've been hanging out, and I'll begin reading in verse 25, and I'll be reading from the Message translation. What this adds up to then is this: no more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. Go ahead and be angry. You do well to be angry. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. And don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't give the devil that kind of foothold in your life. Did you used to make ends meet by stealing? Well, no more. Get an honest job so that you can help others who can't work. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps, each word a gift. Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Make a clean break with all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Be gentle with one another, sensitive. Forgive one another as quickly and thoroughly as God in Christ forgave you. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. So this week, we're talking all about gossip. And the timing of this is very interesting, since as Pastor Michael said during the announcements, we've just finished annual conference, which is the yearly gathering of all the Methodist clergy and then delegates from each congregation in the state. And annual conference really breeds gossip among pastors. And a part of the reason this happens is because one of the things that we do as annual conference is the fixing of appointments. And in case you come to the 10:05 service and miss the announcement, Pastor Michael and I are reappointed for another year, and we will be staying. So we are excited about that. But the appointments become fixed. They become official. And pastors love to talk about appointments, y'all. And this begins months and months before they are fixed in June. And so it begins with the speculation gossip. You know, the idea of who's going where. And while this year at annual conference, the majority of the gossip was about the current appointments that are going to start in a couple weeks, there was already some speculation gossip about pastors who have announced they're retiring in a year. And already people are talking about who might replace them next summer. Okay, so the speculation gossip begins months and months before appointments are actually made. And then when appointments are made, usually in March, there's one day when everyone who's moving finds out where they're going. It all happens on one day. And it's supposed to be secret for a short period of time while the churches process it and the pastor processes this. Well, I have news for you. It's never secret. This year on the Monday when all the pastors found out, that night I was sitting on my couch and got a steady stream of text messages telling me so-and-so's going here, so-and-so's going there, so-and-so's going here. There's a long list, and the vast majority of them, while a couple were wrong, the majority of those were right. And by the time we get to annual conference, it's no longer, you know, the gossip. Everybody pretty much knows where people are going. So we shift into the evaluation gossip. And this is when it comes and people say, oh, I'm so happy for so-and-so. Like, that's a great fit for them. Like, that's going to be a great appointment. But you also hear that, can you believe so-and-so is going to this church? I mean, what were they thinking? Now, I think that part of the reason all of this discussion happens, that we love to talk about appointments, is because it's our way of dealing with our own anxieties about the process. That even though I was pretty confident that I wasn't going to be moving this year, there's always that little bit of anxiety of what if. And even if you know you're not moving, you have friends who are moving and churches that you love that are getting new pastors. And so I think part of why we talk about it is to deal with our own anxiety, and also maybe because we want some sense of control in this process where we really don't have much control at all. But by talking about it, somehow it gives us a false sense of control. And so that's at least my weak excuses for the active clergy and why we do this. But what is really interesting about appointment gossip is that some of the worst culprits in this are the retired clergy. And they are no longer a part of the system. They're not worried about whether or not they're moving. And so I think that for them, it's one, maybe that old habits die hard. They've been doing this their whole career. And so now, even though they're not in the process, they can't stop. But I also wonder if it gives them the sense of value or importance by showing that they're in the know, that they have information that I might not yet have. I think it also might be a way that they feel like they can remain connected in the system when in retirement they're not as connected as they used to be. Now, I realize at first this kind of appointment gossip may not seem like a really big deal, but it does become a big deal when a church member hears that their pastor is leaving, when that may or may not be true and it's not public information. And especially when we move into the evaluation gossip phase, I mean, there are some people who have some opinions about appointments. And sometimes some not so nice things can be said, which is already a problem, and then it really becomes a problem if that gets back to some church members where that pastor is going and they hear some stories about that pastor before they ever get there. And while I think that this gossip, and really all gossip, may not always have malicious intentions, it is always rooted in our insecurities. Gossip is a sinful response to human insecurity. I'm going to say that again. Gossip is a sinful response to human insecurity. Now, I think that there are really a variety of objectives or ways that our insecurities manifest itself in gossip. And so I've come up with a few of those, and you may come up with more. But I think one of the ways, reasons we gossip or reasons why, is because we want to prove we're in the know. Because we do have this sense of importance or value that I have information that you don't have, and you may even want this information. But not only that, it somehow indicates that we are special, that we were privy to this information before the masses were. And so we pass it along to kind of boost our own sense of importance or knowledge. I think another reason that we gossip is to cope with our anxiety about something, especially when things are really out of our control. Somehow talking about it and sharing what you know about it with other people is this way that we try to gain control. think we gossip because we have this desire for connection. Because, let's be honest, we all love a good story. And how often have you been in a conversation, especially maybe one where there's been some lulls and you're kind of struggling to make it happen, and then somebody says, well, did you hear about this? It's an easy way to make connection, and it's usually much easier to talk about other people and their stuff than it is to talk about ourselves. And finally, I think one of the reasons that we gossip is because we think in doing that, we're building our own self-esteem. That by highlighting the flaws and mistakes of other people, it makes us feel better about our own. Or we engage in this kind of like venting gossip where we're looking for reassurance that we weren't crazy or we weren't in the wrong. And we're asking for people to build up ourselves. Do any of these ring true to you? Can you think about a time when you have engaged in this kind of gossip? About when it's been harmful? Because that's the thing about gossip, is that whether our intentions are super malicious or not, it's never really building other people up. And we may think that in the process that we're building ourselves up, but that's not true either. Because what Paul tells us in Ephesians is that when we gossip, we're breaking God's heart. It says in verse 30, don't grieve God, don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Because see, what happens when we gossip is that we fail to see and recognize the image of God in somebody else, or we even call that into question. When we gossip about somebody else, we're calling into question the way that the Holy Spirit is at work in them. And not only that, we're then contradicting the way that the Holy Spirit is at work in us by the things that we're saying. Now, I do want to make a quick aside and note, because some of you may be wondering, that I do think at some point there is a fine line between gossip and genuinely seeking wisdom and guidance on a situation. And I'm not really sure where that line is, I'm going to be honest. But we've all had times in our life when something's going on, whether we've been something going on in our family or at work, or we've been hurt by somebody, but we have to figure out how to deal with it, or, you know, approach that person or whatever it is we need to do. And that sometimes we want or need that kind of objective advice and wisdom from somebody. And therefore, it requires you to give at least some information and context so you can receive good advice. And so I do think that's out there, and I'm not sure where that line is, but I think if you ever find yourself kind of thinking about that or going to somebody, then I think it's really important to evaluate your intentions, to ask yourself, am I genuinely seeking advice in this situation? Am I really uncertain as to what to do and I need somebody who can speak truth? Or is this more about me? Is this more about my need for reassurance or this kind of desire, even though I don't want to admit it, that because they've hurt me, I want to hurt them at least a little bit by telling somebody else about the hurt they've done? I think if we can take time to pause and ask ourselves our intentions, that will be helpful in evaluating our talk. But it can be hard. Some of you heard me talk about how in college one year, my best friend and I gave up gossip for Lent. And because of kind of all these things and the different lines and what defines gossip, we had to decide what we really meant by that. And so we defined gossip as negative talk about another person. And as we said, if we're saying negative things about somebody, then we're calling that gossip and we're not going to do that. And I'm not going to lie to you guys. At first, it was really hard. And I knew, because I'd kind of been thinking in my own life that I really need to rein the gossip in, and I knew the only way I was going to be able to do it was if she gave up gossip too. Because we gossiped more with one another than we did with anybody else. And so it required us both to be committed to this, to be holding one another accountable. But after a couple weeks, it really did get easier. And because I knew that I couldn't or that I wasn't going to share gossip, I started to even think about it less. And all those times when somebody would do something that annoyed me that I might normally call her up and vent about what they'd done, I knew that I couldn't or wouldn't do that, that she was going to call me out on it. And so that meant I didn't even dwell on that annoyance as much anymore because I wasn't going to pass it on, and so I just had to let it go. And what happened is that even after Lynn, at least for a while, there was far less gossip in my life. I don't know that I can promise that's been true almost a decade later, but for a while, it really did make a difference. And so this kind of brings me to my first of two practical applications for the day. Because I bet you didn't really need me to tell you that gossip is bad or destructive or wrong. I'm going to believe that most of you already know that. And yet, it can be really hard to quit, and especially to quit cold turkey. And so if that was the task for today, I imagine all of us would walk out and be like, I'm not going to gossip anymore. And then tomorrow we'd get to work and we'd almost immediately gossip. And then we'd feel defeated. And so instead, I'm going to give us 2 steps to help us just cut back. That's like the objective, baby steps, okay? So objective 1 is to ask yourself, who is the person that you gossip with the most? Who is that person? Because I bet for most of you, you can quickly name the 1 or just 2 or 3 people who you gossip with far more than anybody else. So pick the 1, go and talk to that person, and you together make this commitment and decision to stop gossiping with each other. It's going to probably be hard at first. It's going to require you to say to them at times, no, that's gossip. You got to stop. And it's going to require you to be willing to hear that from them when they call you out on it. But you have to hold each other accountable with that one person. So that's the first thing. And the second thing, we're going to return back to Ephesians. So the first verse I read, verse 25, Paul says, what this adds up to then is this. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other, after all. When you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. So my second practical thing is to only tell the truth. Because that's part of the problem with gossip, too, is that we bend it a little bit to make the story sound better, be more sympathetic to us. We embellish a little bit. Sometimes we attribute motive. Well, of course they did that because they're selfish or arrogant or whatever, when we don't actually know why they made that decision. So you and the person you gossip with the most, you're trying to stop altogether. Then with everybody else who you might still gossip with, only pass things along if you are 100% certain that it is true. Because that's part of the destruction of gossip, is that we add all of these other things to it, these half-truths that are destructive to other people and to ourselves. And I want you to know that I'm in this with you. I've already had a conversation with the person that I gossip with the most, and we've talked about how we need to hold each other accountable and do better in this regard. And I imagine that for all of us, especially in the first couple weeks, it's going to be difficult. But it's also important. Because our words do have power. And I really do believe that if we can do these 2 things, if we can stop gossiping with the person we gossip with the most, and if when we do pass on information, we only do so when we're certain that it's true, then we'll be on our way to breaking these bad gossip habits. Of ridding ourselves of this evil talk and instead only using words that build to those in need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. Because our words matter. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess that too often we fail to resist the temptation to pass on information. God, that when we hear a good story, sometimes we just can't help ourselves. And so, God, we ask for your forgiveness. God, forgive us for all those times that we have distorted the way that you are working in somebody else by our gossip. And God, we ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to break this habit. God, so that we would be people that in all of our lives and especially in our words, that we reflect your light and love. God, and that we are faithful witnesses to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with us?